The law, the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. In verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Caused them to understand the reading. If you would, flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. This is a very familiar scripture that we're going to be reading here. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may devour. And for just a couple moments, I want to preach to you on this thought, hell's pulpits, hell's pulpits. If you would, lift up your voice, lift up your voice right now, cry out to God. Somebody lift up your voice right now. Somebody cry out to God. Amen. Clap your hands one more time as you're seated. Fear of the Lord. Hell's pulpits. The pulpit goes back to the book of Nehemiah. In our text, we read about a time in which Jerusalem was just rebuilt. The people desperately wanting to get back on track with their God called Ezra. And Ezra's job was to preach the law of Moses. The Bible says that the people would come together as one man or people in the street, and they would set up a pulpit of wood for Ezra to stand upon. The purpose of the pulpit was to elevate the preacher above the people for two reasons, so that the people could see and so that the people could hear. The Bible says that the ears of the people were attentive. He would preach for 6 hours at a time. They would stand to their feet as he opened the book in reverence of the word of God. And as he preached, the people would respond to the word by lifting up their hands and saying, Amen. We ought to try that right now. You ought to lift up your hands. You ought to say amen to the word of God. It doesn't matter who's standing in the pulpit. It just matters that there's an amen in the house of God. That there is a, I agree with that, Jesus. I agree with your word. I agree with everything that's spoken from the desk. But he didn't preach just to preach. He preached so that people could understand line upon line, precept upon precept, making sure to break down the word of God so that all could know and so that all could understand it. And this is God's system. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let me remind you today that you've got to have a preacher in your life, that you've got to have somebody to stand flat-footed in the pulpit and tell you what thus saith the word of God. Is anybody thankful for a preacher that'll pray, that'll fast, that'll study, that'll put aside all things? so that the word of God is elevated in your life. You've got to have a preacher. Don't ever forget it. Young person, you've got to have a preacher in your life. I don't care how much you know. I don't care what school you went to. I don't care how many degrees you have. You've got to have a preacher that'll stand up and preach the word of God to you, that'll tell you right from wrong, that'll tell... You got to have a man of God in your life. If you don't have anything else, you got to get to the house of God and you've got to hear the preached word of God and you've got to say, preacher, preach the word to me one more time. Let me hear the precepts and the principles of the word of God. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn, but I need a preacher in my life. I need a pastor in my life. I need somebody that'll declare the truth of God's word. Somebody ought to clap your hands right now. So the pulpit is what's used in order to establish doctrine, in order to establish truth, and in order to establish principles and ideas. It is a rallying place in which the people get on one accord surrounding a particular thing. And God has pulpits all over this world establishing the word of God, teaching and extracting all of the principles by which we should live, making the gospel understandable to all the people that would hear it. You need a preacher in your life. The pulpit is a place to declare truth in a world that's on their way to a devil's hell. A place to declare timeless words, generation by generation. You wonder to yourself, why do we tell the same stories all the time? We tell the same stories all the time because it's the word of God. And your faith can be built by listening to the same stories and listening to the word of God. You need to hear that they were at the Red Sea and they didn't have a way out, because this is not just mama's book, this is not just pastor's book, but this is everybody's book. Generation by generation, we've got to stand up and we've got to declare the word of God each generation. I'm thankful for every preacher that has preached to me. Anybody thankful for the preaching of the word of God? Anybody thankful for great men of God that stood behind this desk and preached the word of God to you time and time again in your desperate situation? I'm thankful for every preacher that has preached to me. I'm thankful for all the life-changing messages that I've heard. And we can sit here and we can compare notes about which sermon you like best and which sermon spoke to you in your time of trouble, sermons that I needed in my time of trouble, sermons that changed the very course of my destiny, sermons that informed my future, sermons that no doubt altered the very fabric and the course of my life. I'm thankful for preaching today, but I've come to remind somebody in the house that as sure as God has pulpits, hell also has pulpits. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The very purpose of the enemy is to try to win your soul. And he won't stop, he won't quit, he won't give up. He is relentless with his work. And the enemy has established pulpits all across this world. And he's preaching, and he's enticing, and he's pulling, and he's reaching, and he's doing his job with intention. And the devil studies too. His subject is people. He has no respect for age. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care where you come from. His intention is to win your soul. And as sure as God is preparing a place for you, the enemy is preparing a place for you. Hell is preparing a place. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. I want to tell somebody that hell is preparing a place for you. I want to tell you, one transliteration of that scripture says that hell is literally licking its lips in anticipation. And one transliteration talks about it this way. It says that hell has a lip to the earth. If you can get the picture of that, hell setting up camp in different places, waiting for the people of God to run in, waiting for the people of God to get lost on their way, waiting for the people of God to move in the wrong direction and fall into a devil's hell. And he's preaching, and he's enticing, and he's pulling, and he's trying to get you in the most opportune moments, because hell is intelligent. He doesn't appear to you oftentimes in his form that we picture him as, young people. The devil, he's not going to come to you in the form of what he really looks like, but he's going to come in the form of something that seems so subtle, that seems like it's not deadly, that seems like it's not going to hurt your life. But the devil is subtle. The devil is trying to wreck your soul, and the devil is trying to use tactics that will catch you in the most opportune moments. The devil is an opportunist. And hell has pulpits. And one of the things about hell is that hell knows how to perfectly place its pulpits. The moment that you let your guard, I feel like preaching today, the moment that you let your guard down, young person, hell is tracking. Hell is watching. It is waiting for you to let your guard down. It's waiting for you to go a day without prayer. It's waiting for you to go a moment without thinking about the things of God. That's why you got to wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's got to be top of the mind. And hell is preaching, and it's pulling, and it's not afraid of your long hair. And hell is not afraid of your modesty. And hell is not afraid that you'll sit in an apostolic service. Hell moves when you move. Hell is waiting for you to make one misstep. Hell is watching and tracking you. When you start making your own decisions, hell is watching. Hell is taking note. Hell is playing chess while we're playing checkers. It anticipates. It begins to pull at your attention, knowing what bait to use. Preaching falsehoods, preaching lies, preaching deception, preaching what you want to hear versus what you desperately need to hear. Preaching fame, preaching fortune. Preaching lifestyle that'll never satisfy. Preaching instant gratification. Preaching, does it take all of that? Do you gotta worship God like you worship God? Do you gotta come to church 3 times a week? Do you gotta come to youth and youth Bible study and teach Bible study and center your life around the things of God? You're doing too much. You're doing the most. You need to just chill out. Hell's pulpits come with a message of fear, and they come with a message of doubt, and they come with a message of you can't be what God has called you to be. And whenever a child of God begins to rise up, the enemy is right there, and he's crafting pulpits, and he's sitting them in the city center. And he's letting you know when you pass by, child of God, that you're never going to be able to be what God has called you to be. But the devil is a liar in the house on a Wednesday night. You can be everything that God has called you to be. You can do everything that God has called you to do. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, hell finds out what's in you. He's trying to find something to hook to. He's trying to find something that he can grab. Hell has a way of perfectly and timely placing its pulpits. If it's sports, hell will put a pulpit and let sports preach to you. If it's Hollywood, hell will put a pulpit and let Hollywood preach to you. If it's music, hell will put a pulpit and let music preach to you. I'm here to preach to somebody today. You've got to be careful what you listen to. You've got to be careful where you go. You've got to be careful what you set up in your home. Because what seems to be innocent is a pulpit from hell. And in moments where you let your guard down, in moments where you get comfortable like Samson, in moments where you think that you're just going about the day-to-day business of the day and of life, hell puts a pulpit right there and he starts pulling at you and he starts enticing you. And hell's pulpits don't stop. They don't quit. They don't give up. Every single day, they're at attention and they're waiting for you to slip up and they're waiting for you to get lackadaisical about the walk with God and about the house of God. That's why you got to get back to the house of God. That's why you got to get to a church and let a preacher preach to you one more time. We go to church. You look at a week, 168 hours in a week. 6 hours in church. 3 hours of preaching. 162 uncontested hours. If you're not fighting in prayer, if you're not reading your word, if your mind is not stayed on him, that's 162 hours of uncontested time that the enemy is desperately trying to fill. I'm here to tell you, it's important to get to the house of God. It's important to bring your babies to the house of God. I know you might be tired, and I know it may be just a mundane thing, but on Wednesday night, I got to get to the house. On Sunday morning, I got to get to the house. Because the 162 hours, nature hates a vacuum, and the enemy wants to fill that time. Any time that you're not here, attentive to the word of God, when we read in the book of Nehemiah that the people were on one accord and they were attentive, their ears were attentive to the word of God, and they made a pulpit of wood, and the preacher would stand here for 6 hours a day. I know we all be tired. 6 hours of preaching. Where's lunch? But hear me today. You got to get a desperation in your spirit to get connected with God. Even if we're not coming to church, on Monday, you got to get connected to God. On Tuesday, you got to get connected to God. On Thursday, you got to find that connection with God. You got to get down on your knees. You got to pray one more time. You got to elevate the voice of heaven's pulpits. You've got to elevate the voice of the man of God in your life. But this time that we have is so precious, it's so fleeting, it's so important. When you start thinking about what you do with your time, and you got to go to work, and you got to pay the bills, and the kids have got to eat, and you've got to do all of the things that will sustain you naturally, but don't forget about the house of God. Don't forget about that prayer life of yours. Don't forget about the word of God. Don't forget what you heard from the pulpit at the house of God. It's a moment of preaching where you hear a great sermon and you know that God is speaking to you. And it's in these moments when you walk out the door and the enemy is not afraid. Hear me today. The enemy is not afraid to set up a pulpit in the house of God. The enemy will come in when you get a word from God, and he'll come and sit on your shoulder and he'll snatch the word away from you. The pastor said that you can be this, but the enemy said your past is going to hold you back. But the devil is a liar. You've got to stand up in the house of God and you've got to say yes to the house of God. Yes to the ways of God. Yes to the will of God. And he knows that if you allow it, He'll come and sit right next to you in an apostolic service. What I'm preaching today is what would be the elevated voice in your life. What would be the loudest voice in your life? Because hell is preaching and the church is preaching. And it's almost like, if you'll help me, you stand on that side, you grab his arm. It's almost like there's a tug of war that's happening in the spirit. And I believe that there is. On one hand, the pastor is preaching hope, and the pastor is preaching peace, and the pastor is preaching joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And on the other hand, the enemy starts to preach, and he starts to grab at your soul, and he starts to snatch away the word that God has given you. And the thing about God, you know what, Sister Jessica, I thought about this today. I don't know if you remember when we did that skit in youth, "You're All I Want." And there was this song, and it talked about how the person was going through a really, really dark time. And in this dark time, they were trying to find God, but they kept finding themselves doing the things of the world. And the enemy was enticing, and the enemy was pulling. And on one side of the stage, there was a group of demons, and there was a group of devils that were grabbing at this person. And this person was conflicted, and they were torn, and they were messed up in their mind. And the song was, "You're All I Want." And she was trying to run away from the enemy. And the enemy would grab her and pull her back. And she would try to run away from the enemy again. The enemy would grab her and pull her back. And at a certain point in the song, she got a desperation in her spirit, because all of the demons of hell were on one side and Jesus was standing on the other side in this play. And at the moment that she made up her mind that I'm not going to listen to the voices of hell, that I really, really, really want to live for God, Jesus came up and he slapped everybody away and he pulled her closer to him. I'm preaching to somebody right now to let you know that Jesus won't force you to serve him. But when you make up in your mind, I said, when you make up in your mind that you're going to live for God, that you're going to be in the house of God. And there's this tug of war that's happening in the spirit every day for your soul. And the only way to tip the scales is if you get involved in the battle. Because God's not going to force you. He's a gentleman. You got to make a decision by will and by choice that I'm going to elevate the voice of God in my life. That no matter what everybody else is doing, there's a pulpit that's elevated above the people. And this symbolizes the elevated voice of the word of God in your life. And when you get that in your mind, that there's not going to be another competing voice in my life, that there's only one voice that I'm going to be listening to. That's why you got to get to the house of God. David said it like this: when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, my foot had well nigh slipped. What happened? He got out in the world. He started listening to the pulpits of hell, and his foot had almost slipped. Then he said, but I got back to the house of God. And when you can see both worlds at the same time, you start to understand there's nothing in the world. There's nothing worth going that way for. I got to get to the house of God. I got to get to the book. I've got to get the man of God preaching to me one more time. Pulpits of hell, they're barking, they're speaking to you, they're enticing, they're preaching doubt, they're preaching fear, and they are busy contending for what they believe, because the enemy really does think that he can overthrow you. You go to New Orleans, you have Jackson Square. In Jackson Square, there's the cathedral. It's the Catholic Church, but it's a beautiful cathedral. If you go inside, you'll see a lot of the things of the tabernacle. If you go inside, this is supposed to symbolize in New Orleans. They say that the steeple is the tallest point in New Orleans on this church. And if you go in here, this is supposed to symbolize the house of God. And this is how the enemy works. It's because when you go into the cathedral, you make your way through it, and then you walk back out the doors, you know what's right outside? Who's been to New Orleans before? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Right outside the door, it's witchcraft, sorcerers, palm readers. Right outside of the church, the devil knows where to place his pulpits. He's going to try to snatch away everything that you hear in an apostolic service. But if you just elevate the voice of God, if you just elevate the man of God, and nobody else's voice is louder than your man of God, then you're going to make it. You're going to be able to walk in these days. You're going to be able to do everything God has called you to do. You're going to be able to be everything God has called you to be. But you've got to elevate the voice of the preacher in your life. You've got to be able to say, I might not like that guy, but I want to hear the word of God, I gotta be saved. Here's the truth. If you go to this church and you make it to hell, you made a decision to be there. If you go to this church and you find yourself in the place that wasn't created for you, you made a decision to be there, because you know what you got to do to make it to hell? You got to step over, give me the body. You got to step over just another day at the threshing floor. You got to step over every Bible study that Brother Sutton's ever taught. You've got to step over all of the word that you've been preached throughout the years. You've got to step over every great sermon that's graced this pulpit. You've got to step over Larry Booker. You've got to step over Barry Sutton. You've got to step over Stephen Collins. You've got to step over Dawson Sutton. You've got to step over every sermon when you had hope, and every sermon when you were convinced that this was the only life to live. And in the moment that you make your way to a place called hell, and I believe we can make it to heaven today, but in the moment that you make the decision to be in hell, all of those sermons and all of the voices that was able to speak into your life over this pulpit are going to rise up in your spirit. And my God, I don't want that to happen. God, I've got time right now to make it right. Tonight is the night where you say yes to the word of God. Tonight is the night that you say yes to the things of God. Tonight is the night that you say yes to the will of God. Somebody lift up your hands right now. Pray all over this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Speak to us, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Lift up your voice right now. Somebody cry out to him. Somebody cry out to him right now. Somebody cry out. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God's moving. God's working in this house right now. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice. Somebody in this house may think 7.5 billion people on the earth. Why is hell messing with me? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. Devil, leave me alone. Anybody feel what I'm talking about? Leave me alone. Go mess with somebody that's doing big things. But here's the deal. God's got a purpose for everybody under the sound of my voice. And you know what? The devil is so afraid that Hadley, if you get a hold of who God has called you to be, if you truly get a hold of who God has called you to be, he's scared that you're going to turn the world upside down. Caleb, if you get a hold of who God has called you to be, that's what the enemy is fighting for. He's fighting for your soul. He's fighting for your potential. He's fighting for everything that you can be. So he wants to stop you short. He wants to say, don't go any further. Don't go any further. Just stay where you are and do everything that you've always done. It's always going to be this way. But the devil is a liar. I need somebody to stand up in the house of God and get an attitude that says, I'm going to be whatever God has called me to be. I'm going to go wherever God has called me to go, and I'm going to do whatever God has called me to do. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. You got to get that in your spirit on a Wednesday night, and you got to stand up in your calling, in your purpose. Stephen preached, sometimes you got to listen to what the enemy is saying about you. Because oftentimes the enemy understands what you're capable of. He understands what you can be. He understands what God created you to do. And he's trying to stop you short until you just sit down, just chill out. Just fit into the crowd. Just be another person on the pew. Just be another person that just comes in on a Wednesday night and does nothing for the kingdom of God. But the devil is a liar. You got to get an attitude tonight. God's got big things for this church. God's got big things for you. But the only way that we're going to be able to see the revival that God has called us to is if you get a charge of your purpose, and you get a hold of your purpose, and you and everybody gets a hold of who God has called them to be. Somebody ought to clap their hands right now. Brother Sam, if you'll come and help me right now. You got to get a hold of it. God wants to do something big in your life. God wants to take you further than you ever thought he can take you, but you've got to get absolutely convinced that it's not about you, but it's about God and it's about his kingdom. And when you get that understanding, I'm telling you, when I got the understanding that God would use somebody like me, then I knew, God, if you can use me, you can use anybody. Somebody's got to stand up in the house of God and get a hold of their calling and get a hold of their purpose and get a hold of the plan of God for their life. Somebody clap your hands. Comes back to this. What's going to be the elevated voice in your life? 3 hours of preaching a week, and we're blessed. We get good preaching. You ought to know that. We get good. We has, my God. We are blessed people. But it's only 3 hours a week if you don't pursue this any further than just coming to church that you get this preaching. Somewhere along the line, every single day, you've got to elevate the voice of God in your life. You've got to elevate the man of God's voice in your life. Brother Sam was preaching today. I'm sitting in my truck reading the Bible, and I'm just weeping because I'm so thankful for a man of God. I'm so thankful for a man that will study. I'm so thankful for a man that will dig out the word of God. I'm so thankful for a man of God that will stand in and put everything on the line, all of his dreams, all of his aspirations. And he would come and say, I'm going to stand and teach the people the word of God. And for that, I'm thankful. Stand with me all across this building. I want to tell somebody in this place right now, you won't be able to silence hell's pulpits. But what you can do is you can begin to elevate the voice of God in your life. You can begin to elevate the man of God in your life. You can begin to put the word of God at the forefront of your life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You ought to clap your hands all over this building right now. These altars are open right now. I want you to come and pray. If you feel what I'm preaching tonight, somebody come and cry out to God and tell him, God, I'll listen to everything that you have to say. God, I'll listen to you. Come on, somebody lift up your voice right now. Somebody cry out to God. Somebody cry out to him right now. Lift up a voice unto heaven right now. God's working in this house right now. Somebody press on in. Somebody press on in right now. Don't let the moment pass you by. The enemy is going to be waiting on you. Make a decision today. Make up in your mind, this is the only voice in my life.
Passionately is to be what you call me. You've called me.
What you've called me to be.
My heart says yes.
I say yes.
Lord, I agree.
Lord, I agree.
My desire, Lord, is to be what you call me.
What you call me to be.
And that's what
Make a commitment today. Tell God you're going to listen to his voice. Tell God you're going to elevate his voice. Somebody cry out to him. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody press right now.
That's what I'll be. And I will be
what you called me to be.
I'll say yes to your will and to your
passionately.
give them one more hand clap of praise all over this house. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Continue to remember Brother Sutton and everybody that's traveling in your prayers. Amen. Share your strength and your love with somebody in Jesus' name.